Today's daf in Masechet Arachim brought to you b'Bein Chomot Yerushalayim is daf Chav Gimel. We're holding at the Mishnah right at the top of the daf. So we have been discussing the dinim of collecting for. We got a little bit sidetracked because of the issue of Yitomim, but of course our main focus over here is in the dinim of how we collect for Hegdash. Now we have another question. There is also the problem of what happens if somebody is Magdish where there are other people that have dibs on this money. So let's say somebody is Magdish Nechasav. He goes in and gives all his property to Hegdash, but he owes his wife a ketubah out of that property. So Aitalav ketubat isha. What do you do? Rabbi Eliezer says, look, if you end up, this guy ends up divorcing his wife, then he has to add to the divorce in court. He has to add a neder that he is in no way going to be nena from her ever again, which will prevent her from ever getting remarried to him. Because otherwise, we're afraid that they're pulling a little shtick over here, and he really wants to get his money back from heck. So he pretends to divorce his wife in order to get a U.S. visa, and then he goes ahead and he collects it from heck, and then he takes her back again. So therefore, he has to be Madir Hana'ah. We'll see how we can do that in a way that can't be canceled. He has to be Madir Hana'ah to make sure that they're not planning on cheating Hegdash out of this money. Rabbi Yoshua Omer Eino Tzarech. Whereas Rabbi Yoshua says, you know, that's not necessary. Kayotze, B'davar, in a similar case, where somebody has divorced, is coming to divorce his wife, and there is an arev, there's a guarantor on the ketuvah. He doesn't have any money. So over there we're afraid that he's pretending, but he's going through a divorce in order for her to be able to sue the guarantor on the ketuvah. Then she'll collect this $1 million that he was so in his adivut gave her at the ketuvah. Then he'll remarry her and they'll both live happily ever after and pour a rave. Therefore, it says, Rav Shimon Galil, you have to do the same thing. Afa a rave, you're going to have to protect. So if somebody was an arev li'isha b'ketuvata, and Ba'ala was Megarsha, there too you will be Yedirena Hana'ah. Because Shema Yaseh Kinunya Mechasim Shalzeh. How do we protect the poor Arev? Maybe they will get together to make a Kinunya. And how do you say Kinunya in English? Plot.
Conspiracy.
Thank you. Excellent. They will conspire to take away the money from the Arev, and then they'll go and remarry. V'yachzira tishto. What do you mean, why? There's often an arev for a ketuvah. Person marries a woman, and the woman says, yeah, where are you going to pay me all of this money that you're claiming? So somebody comes along and says, if he doesn't pay you, I'll pay you. Go ahead and marry him. Poor guy. We'll see more about this. So, what is the machloket over here between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua as to whether you have to be Madir Hana'ah? Rabbi Eliezer holds that people will conspire against Hegdash also. And therefore, you need to protect Hegdash. Rabbi Yoshua believes that people have a little bit of romantic desire to treat Hegdash differently than they would treat others. So, you know, when it comes to Hegdash, they will not conspire against it. Really? So then, how do you explain Al-Hadam Ravuna? Ravuna said that a shchiv meira, a guy on his deathbed, who's makdish all of his property, and then he said, but wait, I have $100 I owe so-and-so. He is believed, because the chazakah ino damo se kinunya al hegdash, we believe him because we don't think that someone would lie to get money out of hegdash. So did Ravuna say that as getting his head involved in the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua? He was only going Alib and Rabbi Yoshua. Then ain't an almost sick duty on the Hegdash? No. The Mishnah is talking about a guy who is healthy. He's a Bari. So there we have a machlokus, but he's going to be also Kedunya on the Hegdash. A guy who's dying, what's he going to make a Kedunya on the Hegdash? He's going to make a Kedunya so that his heirs will get money. I mean, why should he burn in hell for somebody else? You know, if you're going to have fun, you should have the fun. But not to somebody else. Rabbi Shchivner Adivrei Hakol Ein Adam Oseh Kinunya Al HaHegdash. My time, Ein Adam Chotev Lo. People are not going to sin and not somebody else have the benefit of the sin. Once you're going to go, you might as well go big. But that's only if you could still be Naaman. English.
If it's true that he does owe money, has no money.
Yeah.
Is it interesting not to give back the money?
No. That means that we trust him that the Hegdash wasn't real Hegdash in the first place, because it wasn't his. It was the other guy that Sheba on it. It wasn't really his to give. It can only be marked as something that's yours. We'll talk about this more in a few minutes. Okay, so this is one possibility. Another possibility is Igri Amri. That, no, that's not the machlokas. Whether Adamosa Kenunya, everybody is made in. Kuli Amalo Pligi da Adamosa Kenunya Al Hekdash. If a guy's got an opportunity, he's ready to conspire against anybody. He'll conspire against God. The question over here is there something to do about it? That's the question. So according to Rabbi Yoshua says he doesn't need to make a neder. What that means is don't bother. It's not going to do any good anyway. Because if a guy's going to conspire, he can conspire to get rid of his neder too. So that's the machlokas. Is there a way to make a neder that is uncrackable? That's the machlokas. So there we have Mar Savar. So the machlokas over here is whether a neder should have barabim come in. If a guy makes a neder in the Beit Din, can that neder have hafara or not? So Mar Savar yesh lo hafara, since it can be hutar, what's the point of making it? I mean, it's not going to protect Hegdish in any way. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds, no, in Afara, there's nothing to do, and therefore he will be protecting Hegdish if he makes such a neder. He'll never be able to take her back. Vibaitema, or could be everybody agrees, a neder that is taken in public in the court definitely has Afara. But there's an additional precaution that we can take to make the neder uncrackable, and that is a neder shehudar al dat rabim, where the guy is forced to say that this neder is not to be defined the way I seek to define it. I'm making it on the dat of the Beit Din, or so on. That's a machloket, how many people he has to make it on the dat of. Does he have to name the people whose dat? Whether the issue is that simply because it's not up to him, therefore he can't tie, I made a mistake. Or whether it's because it's a particularly stronger commitment that we, okay, it's not our sugya, it's more of an Nedarim sugya. But in any event, there is such a thing as a neder that sudar al das rabbi. One man, the armor, holds that it nonetheless has hafara, therefore, that's Rabbi Yeshua. And therefore he says, why bother taking a neder? Just to pretend that you're protecting me. You're not helping us. So wait, so when a Meimar said that a neder shuhudar barabim, Yeshlo hafara, but a neder that sudar al dat rabim in lo hafara. According to this, when a Meimar said that lamaisa, there is no way to be mater a neder that was made al dat rabim. Are you telling me that a Meimar stuck his head into the machlokas here between the Tanai and the Mishnah, and he was only going according to the man Yomar Rabbi Eliezer, who says that it's worth taking this neder? Furthermore, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. When Rabbi Yoshua says, Einot Tzarich, don't bother. And that's how we've been explaining it. I mean, it's a funny, I mean, talk about the issue. The issue is, does it help? Well, what does he have to be sarcastic? Say, Eno Mo'il. Why is he saying, Einot Tzarich? Einot Tzarich. Eno Mo'il Mi Ba'ilei. That's the point. Elon, there's got to be a different explanation. I say explanations like this. Can you change your mind about Hegdash? That's the question. Because, you see, if there's a way for you to get out of the original Hegdash, you don't have to conspire. You can go to court and you can say, I made a mistake when I made this neder, and had I known, God, that's already my focus, whether we're talking about over here with a petach, or whether we're talking about stomach harata, that's my focus. Again, not mamash ar sugya. We won't go into the details. But is there a way out of Hegdash? That's the question. If there's a way out of Hegdash, then for you to go to this extreme of going ahead, divorcing your wife, collecting from Hegdash, remarrying, I mean, that's, why would he do that? So if you hold that there's a different way of getting out of it, then Eino Tzarech. That's what he's saying. You don't need to, because nobody's going to go to that extreme. If he wants to change his mind, there are avenues to change your mind. That's the point. And indeed, you should know there's a brayta that makes that very clear. But Tanya, Hamagdish lechasav haitalav k'tuvat isha. Rabbi Eliezer omer kishu megarsha yidor hana'a. Rabbi Yeshua omer eno tzarich. Okay, so far it's just quoting the Mishnah. But here's the important addition in this brayta that shows that we're right in our conclusion that the machloket is about sheila of hekesh, because, continues the brayta, v'yomer Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, you should know, this machlokes Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua is the machlokes Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, famous machloket, she Beit Shammai amrim hekdesh ta'ut hekdesh, u Beit Hillel amrim hekdesh ta'ut eino hekdesh. So basically, we know that there's a famous machloket about whether a person can take back his words after being mocked or something. And if it's a mistake, too bad, according to Beit Hillel, too bad. So if it's too bad, then he's desperate. How do I get my money back? So they don't go through this whole thing and make divorce his wife and so on. That's where Rabbi Eliezer holds. Rabbi Yoshua holds. It's not too bad. You can always go to court and take off the hekdesh. Now, therefore, this extreme, we don't have to be chayish for, of a conspiracy to divorce his wife. No. What do you mean he didn't know? No. He thought. Okay, but then if so, then that's just the question of whether that is the ta'ut. But we want to talk, what is the machlok? Machlok is whether it helps to have a ta'ut, right? V'chein haya Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said you have to do the same thing to protect a guarantor. And what happened once is Moshe Bar Atzri, he was an aray for his own daughter-in-law. So in other words, his son, Rav Huna, who was very poor, wanted to get married. The woman didn't want to marry him because he didn't have any money. So the father, the good father, said, look, if he divorces you and doesn't pay you the ketubah, I'll pay it. Okay? So Rav Huna, his son, was a Talmud Chacham. And he was having a very tough life. He didn't have any money to pay rent. And bad news. Tchikolai Milton. So Abaya said, I don't understand. People see this man suffering. He's got a rich father who's not helping out. Why doesn't somebody tell him to go divorce his wife, get all the money out of his father, then remarry his wife? You know, I mean, things were just as corrupt in those days, right? So Amar Abaya, says, what? There's nobody intelligent enough to give an etzah to Rav Huna. Let him go, ligarish l'davita, let him divorce his wife. Titva k'tuvata, let her go and sue for the k'tuvah from his father, Me'avulam. And then let her take it back. V'lahadim ma'adra. Let him take it back. Omale, it's nonsense. So, Omale Rava, Vanan yidor hana'atna. I understand. What good is that going to help? It says in the Mishnah he's going to have to be ma'adir hana. So he won't be able to take her back. So what kind of aids? What's up? Abaya is saying, and did somebody say he has to divorce her in court? Let him go all the way. Divorce her illegally without going to court. Then come and bring the get. Say, well, I'm sorry, gentlemen. I never made that netter after he goes in and brings her back, you know. I mean, you're going to give the Eitzah correct the whole way, corrupt from the beginning to the end. So Abaya says, what? So everybody who's Megarish necessarily gives a get in the Bezdin, and they force him to take this netter. Let somebody tell him not to go to Bezdin. Divorce his wife quietly, bring the get, let her sue, and then everything will be great. Lesof. Anyway, at the end, Abaya found out that Rav Huna was a Kohen. If he would have divorced his wife, he wouldn't have been able to remarry her anyway. So when Abaya heard that, he says, well, that's what they say, the poor get poorer. I mean, it's ridiculous. There's nothing to do with it. It's not bad enough he's poor, he's also a Kohen. But Ania Ozvan Yuta. Sonny's son-in-law? He wasn't related. Abaya wasn't related. Moshe Bar Atzri was related. Wait. Abaya would have said such a rotten thing? Abaya was the one who says that, you know what a sneaky Russia is? Ezel Russia Arom. That would be some mamzer who goes and gives a guy an etzah to go ahead and screwing Arev out of his money by divorcing his wife. Abaye is the one who says that you got to really be rotten to do such a thing, and now he's the one that's doing it. This is crazy. So Zeh Masiyah Tzalim Korban HaChasim, in order to do what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel was coming to protect. Answers the Gemara, but it's different over here. It's the guy's own son. I mean, Bereishayna, his son is different. And he's a Talmud Chacham. You know, I can always pull a little shtick for a Talmud Chacham. I mean, you know, so my chlok is actually Lamaisa, whether it's only the two together, or whether, you know, it's my chlok is Rishayna. And it's Surabim Mirabban and Rishayna. But you know what? This whole thing doesn't make any sense. An Orev, someone who guarantees a ketuvah, does not have to pay. We're going to see why. He's not considered to be a true guarantor. You know, because basically, look, the whole idea of marriage is a vast conspiracy, right? Nobody tells anybody what they're getting into. Yeah. Keep it quiet so that he messes up his own life, right? So this... exactly. Okay, so you find out one day too late always. All right. So the thing is over here, the RA figures, no, everybody's got to go through it. What the heck? It's like death. So I'm just helping it along, you know what I mean? So I'll say that I'm the Orev. I mean, nobody's going to take it seriously. Huh? It's that type of thing. He doesn't have any intention of being Meshavit himself. He just wants to mess up this woman's life. I mean, to help this woman's life. Not only that, we'll see later on, that there's also another issue that he figures, no, I mean, I'm fooling her into getting married, but marriage is a good thing for her, you know. I mean, she's not losing anything, is she? So he doesn't really, he thinks he's doing a mitzvah, you know. So in that case, an Orev Viktuva anyway is not Mishtabet, so how in the world would they have been able to collect from Moshe Baratzri? Ah, well, we're talking about over here that he was a Kablan. So what happened over here is that actually a Kablan in Lamaisa Lahalocha means only that he accepts upon himself first dibs. Meaning, you could come and collect directly from me. Now, the way you would create a kablanut over here is you tell the woman, listen, you rely on me, go ahead and get married. To take that kind of responsibility, to say to someone, you go get married, that's already kablanut without any further legal documents being necessary. It's viewed as a very intense and trustworthy statement. Okay, Rashi says that it's literally kablan, meaning that he had to take the ketuvah biyadayim, and whatever it was that Ravuna was matvis, gave to the father accepted all responsibility, handed over the ketuvah. Okay, but again, there's different ways to accept kablanut under different circumstances. But the difference in a kablan is that he can be sued directly. It's not that he's a secondary payer. Well, now, wait a minute. There's a big machlokas about whether a kablan is going to be mishta'abed in these circumstances. So, heini kalaman diyamar kablan, afagav the letle nechasin alove mishta'abed. There is a man diyamar who says that if a person is mekabel on himself the loan, so then even though he knows perfectly well that the borrower, in this case, the guy who's getting into the marriage, his son, doesn't have a dime to his name, he still is being serious about committing himself to pay up. But according to Man Yamar, who says, that's crazy. Nobody would do that. And only if the guy has money. So now the guy tells you, and this very often happens, somebody will say, well, sign for me on a, you know, that you know, I'm covering my mortgage or whatever, right? So they ask you to be an Orev. So, okay, you see, the guy's got a lot of money. Now, of course, a year later he goes bankrupt, and now you're left holding the bank. But at the time you figured, nah, this guy's okay. I mean, I'm just doing a courtesy. So in that case, he really would be mishtabed. So there is mishtabed. But letle, if the guy doesn't have any money, he's thinking to somebody crazy. I'm not going to pay up his debt. So letle lo mishtabed. So what are you going to say? In this case, Ravuna was a poor man. So how would he be mishtabed? Even if he's a kablan, he wouldn't have been mishtabed. Well, first of all, how do you know that Ravuna was a poor man at the time? Maybe he only became a poor man after he got married. So he bought ima Ravuna havile. No, this is Ravuna, the son of Moshe Baratzri. Yeah. So this is Rav Huna Havila. He had money, but then he lost his money. Vishtadov, that is one. I mean, who said he was poor at the time? But anyway, there may be a more simple answer. That if it's the guy's own father, Moshe Baratzi was Rav Huna's father. So Abu Lagabi Breish, he would be Meshabit Nafshin. For his own son, he would be Meshabit himself as an Arev, and therefore we don't need all of the complicated answers. The Itmar, this whole discussion, we're going back now, not on this last statement, we're going back on the whole discussion of Arev, or the Kablan, this Meshabit himself, what are we referring to? The Itmar. Arev de Ktuva, somebody accepts upon himself to be a guarantor for Ktuva, Divrei HaKol lo mishtave. There's definitely no responsibility on his part to pay. A kablan of a baal chov, everybody agrees that, of course, mishtave. Because there's a major difference. If you're guaranteeing a loan, then you actually cause the lender to lose money. If you're guaranteeing a ktuva, all that you did was enable the woman to get married. She didn't lose anything. Okay, but did I make anybody lose any money? No. Yeah, I helped her along to get married. No, she was not missing anything. Now, the question is, how about if he's an Orev of a Baal Chov? So he didn't really accept upon himself to be the payer of choice. And a Kablan of the Ketuva, where he gave over more responsibility for the Ketuva. There's a Machloket. Ikelam on the Yomer. So one man on the Yomer says, look, if the love, or the man who's marrying over here, has money, so then itlein nirtzel love is b'shtabed. But if he doesn't have any money, let lei lo mishtabed. This is the other man, Yomer, says that afagav the let lei mishtabed. And lamaisa the halacha in all the cases is that afagav the let lei, in any event, a person who commits himself to pay up, whether he's an arev or a kablan, is mishtabed, except for the case of the Orev of the Ketuvah. The case of the Orev of the Ketuvah is even if the chosen has lots of money, he still is not mishtabed. Why? Because everybody understands contextually that what the guy is thinking to himself is, I'm doing a mitzvah to help a marriage. Isn't that a big mitzvah? The people go around collecting money for this mitzvah. So, you know, so I'm doing a mitzvah. What's a big deal? V'lav mideh chasrei. I mean, chasra, have I caused her to lose any money? I helped her get married. So over there we understand there never was really gemiras das to be mitchayek. Now there was a guy, who sells all of his property and he goes to divorce his wife. Looks very suspicious. Because it could be that he went bankrupt, he had to sell everything he owned, doesn't have any money, he'll divorce his wife. Then his wife will take the buyers to court. They'll say, what about my ketuvah? So then they'll have to pay the ketuvah, he'll remarry her, and they'll live happily ever after. Same issue as in the Mishnah. So they had come to the Beit Din of Rabbi Yosef Reda Rava. So Rabbi Yosef Reda Rava sent a shaila to Rav Papa. Do I, in this case, have to make sure that he takes a neder, that he'll never be neder from her, or not? Because, I mean, the Mishnah lists the case of Arev, and the Mishnah lists the case of Hegdash. The Mishnah never said anything about buyers, about protecting buyers from conspiracy. So, Lokeach Mahu, do I have to protect the buyers from conspiracy or not? So Rav Papa wrote back, what kind of stupid question is that? What do you expect the Tana to list every single possible case? You see the idea? The idea is that we're chayshish for conspiracies, and Tana ki ruchla, nechshav, and these are what the Tana is supposed to be, an Avon salesman, to tell you every single different type of lotion and hair dye that he's got. I mean, he gives you the principle, you figure it out yourself. He's not selling things, you know? The Nardai said, oh, no. The cases in the mission that are listed, and only those cases, protecting an Arev and protecting Hegdash. That's the only cases. It's non-tnan, the lo-tnan, lo-tnan. If the mission doesn't tell you that you need to force the guy to take a netter, is there going to be nene? Then, in fact, he does not. And what's the reason for that? My time with the Nardoi. Why do they see that there's a difference? I mean, certainly people will conspire against buyers. It's very simple. The Nardoi figure like this. Look, Bishleim at the Hegdash, okay. I understand why we want to protect Hegdash. I mean, Hegdash is Hegdash, you know. We don't want Hegdash to lose. That's Mishum Revach to Hegdash, so that we even protect them from conspiracy. I mean, look, you know, you can't protect everybody from everything, but Hegdash will try to protect. An Arev, a guy who was an Arev, we feel, deserves to be protected. Because, after all, he did a mitzvah, you know. The guy was going out to do a mitzvah to help a woman get married, and he didn't cause any damage. It's lav nidechas, right? She didn't lose anything, you know? So let's protect him. I mean, it seems really vicious for a guy who's trying to help someone out to be the victim of a conspiracy. It makes sense that we should try to protect the guy that's trying to do his best. But I don't... Look, a guy is buying property. He knows that the seller is married. Right? He's got to assume the seller is married. And, you know, I mean, what's he thinking? That this guy's gonna sell me all his property, but he's gonna pay his wife the ksuva. I mean, he knows perfectly well. Why did he protect himself, you know? Why should he go and buy? He's hoping to get away with what? With getting away with the money for ksuva. So why should we protect him? He can't be smart enough to protect himself. We're not gonna protect him. And therefore, it's not our business to protect the world from their old stupidities. What are we, the U.S. government? But we do want to protect those who need protection. Dear Mr. President, Hamagdish Nichasav, Vaitalav Ketuvat Isha Uba Alchov. Now, how about if a guy makes all of his property hegdesh? And now there's a lien against his property, so he has either a ketuvat isha or a baal chov. So the question is, can you actually go and sue Hegdash, as our president asked? You sue Hegdash for that money directly, or what? I mean, you take it out of the hands of Hegdash? Right, this is what the previous mission was. At that time, there was nothing to do. See, afterwards, it's Megarish. Lamaisa. Does the money go directly from Hegdash? No. Ina isha yechola likvot ketuvatam in Hegdash. A woman cannot go and get her money out of Hegdash. A baal chov cannot go and take his chov from Hegdash. Well, what you do is like this. The one who's going to be poda this property is poda it with the understanding that he's going to have to pay this field to the woman or to the baal chov. And we make it possible for him to do that. So we say, okay, just buy it for a buck. So we're going through the motions of requiring pidyon from Hegdash, and we'll see that the reason that we do this is in order that people not say that Hegdash is yotze below pidyon. Now, Lamaisa, and here's where I promise to discuss this later to our president, Lamaisa, there is a big question about how this works, because you'll remember there's a klal that Hegdash is mafkia midei she'ibud, that Hegdash takes precedence over previous liens. So if it does, we ought to be actually telling them to, you know, too bad on you, guy was mafkia. So many Rishonim hold that the only time we say Hegdash is mafkia midei she'ibud is by kedushat haguf, a korban that's being brought to the mizbeach. That type of thing is mafkia midei she'ibud. Not kedushat damim when somebody dedicates his bank account to Hegdash. That's not mafkia from a shibud. If somebody else has got a lien against the bank account, you're giving money that doesn't belong to you. And therefore, it's bechlal, not an issue. It's mashma in the Rambam that here also it's mi'ikra adim, but it creates a lot of problems. But just let us pretend that there's no issue of mafkia over here. And this is a pure gezeira in order that people not think, they don't know the details that it really wasn't the guys in order to be Magdish. It wasn't really Hegdash Gomor. So because of that, what we do is a little bit of a charade. So we pretend you're being paid it. You pay an extra buck. And that way you give it to the Isha B'Ktuvatah L'Baal Chov et Chovo. Now, let's say, and what we really want to do over here is have the guy himself be paid it. Now, he doesn't have any money. Richie. Let the husband be paid it. Of course, he just gave all of his money to Hegdash. What we do is we say, you know what, say to the woman, lend your husband a buck so that he can pay you $100,000. Give him a dollar, give him another dollar. So that way, he'll buy it back in order to go through these motions with this understanding that he's going to have to, it's on that condition that the president is allowing him to buy it back. Now, suppose the values are unequal. Let's say that he was magdish $900,000, tishim money, and his chov was more than that. He owned a million, he owed her $1 million. So he had chov of mea money. I'm using the terms light, obviously. So, Mosif Odinar, lend him another buck, okay? And let him be poeta the nechasim. Almanatli tenli shaktu vatala bal chovet chovos. You're saying, but I'm not going to get back all my money anyway. Okay, fine. Is it worth it for you to get $900,000 and lose a buck or not? Yeah? So, give him the extra buck. Now, what do we need hapodeh podeh, asked the Gemara. Why hapodeh? Why podeh? Just take it. How can he give away money to Egdish that is not his? The money is owed to this woman. The money is owed to the Baal Chol. Ah, that's because of Rabbi Avoh's gezeira. The Omer Rabbi Abahu, Shelo Yomru Egdish Yotzei Balo Pidyon. We don't want people to see that it's possible to sue Egdish and take it away from them without a pidyon. People won't understand that it wasn't really Egdish in the first place. Now, the Mishnah here is the local Richie.
Yes.
If you're going to be up enough to drive your wife to lunch all the way up in the Galil,
right.
Yeah, then you better be up enough to hear this daf.
Okay.
So, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel holds, Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, only if your chov was the same as the value of the hekdesh can you be paid at. But if not, you can't be paid at. Because, look, explain to me, when you gave away all the money that you have, it was only $900,000. But this guy lent you $1 million. And why did a guy lend you $1 million if you only had $900,000 as backup, collateral to that loan? So obviously, he never really intended to collect his debt from that money, because he knew that he was going overboard. In that case, Taina is now Reb Shimon Gamliel. So then that means that he didn't want to really collect. And if that's the case, we don't let you get that money back. So our Mishnah clearly doesn't hold that, because the Mishnah is talking about where you don't have enough money to cover the loan. Now the question is, of course, how far would we go? I mean, what if it's only 10%? We'll let you get back to 10%. We're saying, come on, a guy lend him $1 million, he's got nothing to cover it. And you're telling me go to Egdish to get his money when anyway he was never planning on collecting his loan from that money? I mean, what, $5 we're going to take away? So up to what point, asks the Gemara, how far would we go? V'rabanan ad kama. How far would we go to say that you could collect? Omer v'n barir on Rav Sheshes ad palga. It can't be less than 50%. I mean, 50% of the guy's willing to take a chance. Less than 50%, he's just being nice and figuring, okay, what the heck? Guy needs money, forget it. We'll make him a loan. I don't expect to ever see it again, as most people who make loans basically think to themselves when they're making a loan. I'll never see that money again. You never get to tell you another approach to the previous sugya. I should have said it before I started. So, there's a completely opposite approach to this business of the machlokas between the Rabbanan and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Totally opposite. And Tosfos doesn't like the svara, but he says it's mashma. Actually, in the brighter, that's the meaning. And it's the exact opposite, that if the chov is more than half, that then Hekdesh wasn't chal at all. Because we don't have to worry about the gezeira if it's that much money that he owes, that is so much beyond what it is that he could dedicate. Everybody's going to say, well, this pauper owes his life to everybody and he's going around with Magdish money. So when they go ahead and they take it from Magdish, there's no basis for the gezerah of Shema Yomru Egdesh Yotzei Balo Pidyon. So it's actually an inverse of the way Rashi was learning.
Okay.
The Egdesh Bechalal wasn't a Egdesh. Right. Okay, let's try that again.
Dr. Eli Commissioner.
Afapi Shamru Chayavei Arachin Mabashkinin Otam. Now, it's true that we said that if a guy doesn't pay up his erech, and the guy's gonna have to sit there for hotza'a l'poel to take away his TV. Now, That's the gizmo. But do we strip him there? No, we do not strip him there. We leave him with enough food to eat for 30 days. We leave him with enough clothing for 12 months. We leave him with a bed and linen. Mita mutzad. We leave him with a pair of shoes. And we leave him with his tefillin. But that's only for him. We don't leave his wife her tefillin. We don't leave any of this for his wife or children. And we'll see what the basis of this in the Gemara. But furthermore, and we saw this earlier by the case of the guy who owned the ship, if he is a craftsman, then he is allowed to keep a tool and redundant tools, a backup of all of the tools that he needs. So we give him shnei klei umanut, we call min v'min. We'd allow him every different tool to have a backup tool. So in other words, if he's a carpenter, he's allowed to have two planes, he's allowed to have two saws, shnei matzadim, shnei migerot. Rabbi Eliezer says if he's a farmer, then he's got to have a tractor. So he needs a tzemet bakar, which is the equivalent of a tractor in those days. If he's a chamar, he's got to have, it's a rent-a-car agency, he's got to have a car. If he had a lot of one, let's say he's a carpenter and he's got 10 backup planes, but he only owns one saw. So we're not going to give him two saws by taking, we're certainly going to take away 8 of his planes. Right? We're only leaving him one backup, one redundancy. So you might think, okay, but take one more of his plane to sell and buy him another saw. No. He certainly is not going to get more than he originally had. We'll leave him what he had. But if he has min echad merubah, hu min echad muat, we don't say, let him sell an extra one of the merubah and buy a backup for the muat. Absolutely not. We gave him only 2 from the merubah, whatever he had from the muat. We're not going to add to what he had. V'chol she'esh lo min ha-muat. If, however, he goes out, straight out, and his makdish is mechasim, not that he owes money to Hegdish for an erechim. He gives away everything he owns. Even his tefillin he gave away. He wants his tefillin back. He's going to have to pay for it. Ma'alin lo tefillah. We'll give it to him for money, but we're certainly not going to leave it to him. These are 2 completely different issues. Whether mimashkinin to make sure that he pays, there we leave him. That's like a bankruptcy. We'll see where we learn that from. But if it's actual Hegdish, it already belongs to Hegdish, which I have to say, we'll leave him his tefillin. How can Hegdish give away just because we feel bad for the guy? It's not ours to give away. So there he will have to, in fact, buy back his tefillin. Hamagdish nechasam. Vayta alav ktuvat isha. Reb Eliezer omer kishi yigarshena yidor hana'a. Reb Yeshua omer eno tzarich. Kayotzei b'dabar. Om Reb Shimon Gamliel. Ha'arev li'isha v'ktuvata. Vaya ba'ala megarsha. Yadirena hana'a. Shema yehase kenun ya'al v'chasim. Shoz v'yagzir tishto. So when I come here, like Reb Eliezer Sofer Adam Osek Dunya even on Hegdash. Reb Yeshua Sofer Ein Adam Osek Dunya ala Hegdash. So I'll hold you on Reb Huna Shchiv Mira Shigrish Kona Chasav Yom Mona Ploni Biyadi Neman. Because it's a Chazaka Ein Adam Osek Dunya ala Hegdash. You're telling me Reb Huna was only Ketan Yom Mona Shmaita. No. Ad kan lo pligi ala bebori. Of course, a Shchiv Mira he figures, why should I go to hell when someone else gets all the fun? The question over here, is there anything to do about it? So, and therefore, what good is it? Could be kulei amenedah should have rabim yeshua farah v'alchem benedah should have dat rabim kamiflegei. So wait, you're telling me that a meimar who said that neder should have rabim yeshua farah al dat rabim ain't lo afarah lemi ketanoi amar lamiltei l'shmaytei v'tu rabbi yeshua imre ainu tzarich. What do you mean ainu tzarich? Why didn't he say what he's saying? Ainu mo'il. Isn't that the point? Ainu tzarich seems to sound like, what's the need for it? Ella, I say, and indeed, Vatanya, המקדיש נכסה, והייתה עליו כתובת אישה, רבי אליעזר אומר, כשהוא מגרשה ידור הנאה, רבי יהושע אומר, אינו צריך, ויאמר רב אלעזר רבי שמעון, this is exactly the machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, שבית שמאי אומרים, הקדש טעות הקדש, ובית הלל אומרים, הקדש טעות אינו הקדש, וכן היה רב שמעון, בלי אליימר. משה בר עצרי, ארבע דקלת אהבי, ורבונה ברי, וזצום עם רבן אהבי, and was having a rough time paying the rent. Chikalei Milta. Omer Abai, how come nobody is giving an etzah to Rav Huna to legarish the David of it titvak tuvata meyavu v'lahadre meyahadre? Omer Le Rava, what do you mean? But then he would have to be neuter hana'as. He couldn't get her back. Abai, oh, come on. How to call the megarish bay? Dina megarish? Come on, we know how to do things wrong when we need to. Anyway, l'sof igloi Milta. It is a coin. Om Rabbi, oh my God. Butter on the Aslan youth. There's nothing to do for it. Now, how could Abayev suggest such a vicious thing if Om Rabbi is there, Russia, Aron, Zama, see it, Salim, Korban, Achasim, Kripshim, Gamliel? No, come on, it's his own son. I mean, that's a gray shiny. And also, Rav Huna is a Talmud Chacham, you don't want to support the guy. So, I mean, Rabban and Shiny. But typically, that anyway an Oriva Vektuva is not going to be Mishtabit, so what's the point? He's not going to have to pay. Well, he was a Kabbalah. And Ich Laman Yomer Kabbalah, and I forgot to let Lady Chosr the love of Mishtabit. Well, what about if you're according to Laman Yomer that only if the guy has money himself he's Mishtabit, but if the guy himself has no money he's not Mishtabit, how do you explain that one? Well, first of all, who says Rav Huna never had money? Maybe Rav Huna had money at the time he got married. Maybe Havilei Mishtabit. Or, you know what, it could be that a dad is different. Abba Lagabi Bray, you know, it's his marriage day. I mean, maybe the guy was feeling a little bit more generous on that day. So, Shiburi Mishabit Nafshi, the Yitmar, Arev Diktuva Divriakol Lo Mishtabit, Kablan de Balchov Divriakol Is Mishtabit. The Machlokas is about a normal Arev of Balchov and a Kablan of Iktuva. So, what's the Machlokas? Only if itle nichsin lelov esi mishtabit le, but if letle lo mishtabit, the ikel amand yomer that even if the guy had no money on his own, he was mishtabit. And the halacha is lemaisa that all the above cases except for one, afagav de letle is nami mishtabit, except for the case of an orev of a ketuva, where the other opposite extreme, that even if he does have, he's not mishtabit, because his intent was only to do a mitzvah, and he figures, I mean, la vidi chasra, what am I costing her anything? I'm helping her along. And he was mengarish his wife, he comes to court to Rav Yosef, the Rava, sent a shayla to Rav Papa, do I have to be madir hana'ah, this guy, from his wife or not? I mean, it says Orev in the Mishnah, Hekdesh Tanan. What's the din about a lokeach? Why would it be any different? What do you expect? The Tanakh, Yeruchu, and Ekshav, and Ezel, every single case. No, it's only these two cases. It's not Tanan, the Lo Tanan, Lo Tanan. Omri Mishashi, you know why? My time in Ardoi. Because Bishulim Hekdesh, we want to protect Hekdesh Bishulim Revcha the Hekdesh. Orev Nami, the guy was doing a mitzvah, he's helping out, but a lokeach, take care of himself, he wants to be an idiot, be a sucker, we can't protect suckers. So amai, nezom nizbon, you the kafsid anapshe. A magdish nechasa vaita lav ketuvat isha uba alchov. אין האישה יכולה לגבות כתובתה מן ההקדש, ולא בעלחוב את חובו, but the way to do it is you go out of your pide, and הפודה המנת ניתן לאישה בכתובתה לבעלחוב, his חובו, and you put it for like a סמלי amount. Now, suppose he gives 90 money, and his חוב was 100 money, so then he doesn't have any money, okay, so lend him another buck. We have Mosif Odina. And we put it in a chasim. Amanat itin lishaktu vata. Ulabal chovet chovo. So why do we need to be a podeh podeh? I mean, Lamaisa, if the guy had a shibud on the money, what right was the hekdesh? The hekdesh isn't a real hekdesh. It wasn't his. Mishum de Rabbi Abba, Odom Rabbi Abba, Shelo Yomru Hegdesh Yotzei Balo Pidyon. Now the Mishnah is the look of Shem Gamliel, the Tani of Shem Gamliel Omer, Im Ayachov Okeneged Hegdesho Podeh, but Im Lav Eino Podeh, because anyway the guy wasn't planning on collecting. V'Rabbonam, how far would they go? Omer Vuna Bar Yudah, Omer of Sheshes, well, up to 50%, it's a serious guarantee. Af Opi Shom Hu Chai Ve'arachim Mamashkinim Otam. Notrim lo mazon 30 yom, ksut 12 chodesh, mita mutza'at, sandal love, tefillah, only enough for himself, and not mishtol banav. Ima ya'oman, notrim lo shnei kelei omanut, mikol min v'mi. Let's say, he's a harash, notrim lo shnei ma'atzdin, shnei megerot, Rebbe Eliezer omer, ima ya'ikar, notrim lo tzimado, chamar, notrim lo chamoro, Hayelo minachad maruba, uminachad muat, ein omrim, limkorat amaruba, likach minamuat, not nimlo, shnei minim minamaruba, but whatever he had, koshieshlo minamuat. Hamagdish nechasav is going to have to pay to get his tefillin back. Malin lo tefillah.